The dollar in decline.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. This week's Fed rate cut has punished the dollar. It fell to a record low against the euro overnight. Yesterday, the dollar reached parity with the Canadian dollar for the first time since 1976. Now, this weakness is helping to send crude to its record high. That's because crude oil is traded in dollars, so when the dollar drops, it takes more of them to buy a barrel of oil. Crude is at $83 a barrel, and that has enriched the coffers of governments in the Persian Gulf. They're using their huge wells of cash to take over companies. This morning, two Gulf states are battling for a share in the London Stock Exchange. Stephen Beard reports from London.
Qatar and Dubai have been vying with each other to become the financial center in the Middle East. Now the fight has shifted to London. Dubai has just acquired 28% of the London Stock Exchange in a complicated deal with Nasdaq. Qatar is furious. It had been hoping to buy the stake itself. It's now bought its own 21% share. And, says Andrew Hilton of the CSFI think tank, a takeover battle is looming.
It's really reminiscent of what's been going on in horse racing for the last 20 years, where all these little Gulf sheikdoms try to outdo one another by spending more and more money on faster and faster horses.
In Britain, unlike in the US, there's no concern about any national security implications of the stock exchange being owned by a Middle Eastern government. Dubai and Qatar are both seen as friendly pro-Western states. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The stock market slipped yesterday on weak earnings from Bear Stearns, along with a prediction of slower sales from FedEx. The Dow lost 48 to 13,766. The S&P was down 10 points to 1581, and the Nasdaq was lower by 12 to 2654. Overnight in Asia, stocks were lower, but in Europe this morning, the major markets are trading up after Goldman Sachs recommended buying auto stocks. Forbes magazine put out its annual ranking of the richest Americans last night, Bill Gates topping the list with $59 billion. No surprise there. What's raising eyebrows is who's off the list. Marketplace's Jill Barshay reports.
$1 billion is no longer enough to make it on Forbes magazine's list of the 400 richest Americans. Matthew Miller compiled it at Forbes.
You know, what's fascinating about this year's list is that the minimum to get on was $1.3 billion. And we actually left 82 billionaires behind. It's the first time that ever happened.
The rich list is fun to gasp at, but it's also a good snapshot of the U.S. economy. Executives at hedge funds and private equity shops led the charge up the economic ladder. They accounted for half of the 45 new additions to the list. Google founders Sergey Brin and Larry Page made the top 10 for the first time.
The only sectors that you really kind of see a weakening in, and it's only because those fortunes are not growing fast, is manufacturing. We don't see as many manufacturing fortunes.
Off the list is Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz. And it's the first time since 1989 that a Walmart heir has not appeared in the top 10. In New York, I'm Jill Barshay for Marketplace.
Hollywood lives on drama, and there may be a big one brewing between the stars of DreamWorks and owner Paramount Pictures. The Wall Street Journal reports Steven Spielberg and David Geffen are making noises about leaving DreamWorks when their contracts allow it next year. DreamWorks sold itself to Paramount nearly 2 years ago for $1.6 billion. But the Journal reports Spielberg and Geffen feel underappreciated by their new owners. This year, DreamWorks provided most of Paramount's hit movies, such as Transformers and Blades of Glory.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, sponsoring The Mysterious Human Heart, a PBS series shedding light on heart disease through the stories of people from around the world, premiering on PBS in October. By the American Public Transportation Association, supporting America's public transportation systems, working to help reduce greenhouse gases for a better environment at publictransportation.org. And by A.G. Edwards, caring for nest eggs for more than 120 years with a commitment to provide objective financial advice.
The new TV season is off to a slow start. If early returns are a sign, the networks face a big challenge this fall. Let's bring in Mike Spire. He's executive editor with Variety. Mike, what characterizes the new fall lineup?
Money. Expensive. That the networks are spending a lot of money to make things look terrific. it's not the star power that's bringing the money in, although there are some big names here and there. It's just the fact that the TV business has to look like the movie business because people's expectations of entertainment have changed and they want things to look great.
Which network has the most to lose here?
It really is NBC for many different reasons. Number one is they weren't very good last year. They were in third place from the three big networks. They're the ones that people are going to be looking for. Number two, they have a new entertainment guru, which is Ben Silverman. And he was brought over to be kind of the new guy in entertainment, to get to the young people, to get them.
Is CBS in a particularly tight spot right now?
CBS is not having a good couple of months and certainly not a good year with the Kitty Kirk situation. And what the Dan Rather lawsuit does right now is it brings back into focus what a bad decision it was to bring Katie Couric into the fold.
Kid Nation, what is this for CBS?
Kid Nation is, depending on how you look at it, and depending on the ratings, mind you, a very different story for every different person who looks at it. Number one is it's a reality show that a lot of people are up in arms over. On the other hand, it's bringing so much attention to the network, and there's no such thing, as they say, as bad press.
So at the other end of the spectrum, which network is in the best position?
Because the show is such a huge hit with American Idol, Fox, no matter what they do during the season, it can always rely come January or come whenever American Idol comes back on. Now, American Idol did slip last year, so they might be worrying just a tad. But then again, it's such a big behemoth of a show.
Will the fall season be good in terms of advertising revenue?
Every year seems to be bigger than the year before, and that's just because of economics. I mean, that's true with the Super Bowl, it's true with the Olympics, it's true with network television, that every year things get more expensive. I don't think it's a byproduct of the shows being better. In fact, the ratings are worse than ever, and we just saw during the Emmy Awards, this was the second lowest ratings ever for the Emmy cast.
Mike Spire is executive editor at Variety here in L.A. Mike's always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
What would happen to the planet if everyone on it lived like you? Would Earth be cleaner or more polluted? Find out by playing our new game. It's called Consumer Consequences, and it's at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.